buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters and the seas. I'm a fool, fool, fool for you.
Well, in some places of Arizona, it sure feels like we've got all the water and the seas dumped on us this week. We got mud everywhere. Rodeo events called off. Everybody's just sitting around. Our stalls were mucking out water. But man, you know, as irritating and as frustrating as that is, I just love looking over at the orchard. I mean, the immediate tone of green it turns with natural rainwater is very enjoyable.
I love, seeing all the hillsides so nice and green. It's just really nice to see that spring rain just give us a little taste of Ireland, you know, driving around that dreamy draw curve. Yeah, no, it's beautiful this time of year. Hopefully the fire problems won't be too severe this summer, because all these dry weeds are going to turn brown in about 2 or 3 months, and then we're going to have possible fire problems, you know.
So, and people say that, and they see new weeds growth and the undergrowth, and they see fire problems. I see food. Turn the cattle out. Turn the goats out. This is perfect. We don't have to buy feed. It's growing.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of, we talked a little bit about weed control earlier. Just a reminder, if you're doing any spot spraying of weeds or having your landscaper do some post-emergent spray with various contact herbicides, be careful that you don't spray the trunks of your trees and plants that you don't want to be in contact with that contact herbicide. Contact herbicides are, the name says what they are. They will kill whatever the herbicide touches. So be very careful. We've seen a lot of overspray on the bottoms of trees that were just in an effort to put down the herbicide on the granite, the soil around the base of the tree, that the applicators were not careful and they sprayed the bottoms of those trees. Well, those trees will absorb that chemical into their system, and it can really hurt them bad, you know, pretty badly. Even saw one landscaper who was spraying all of the little sprouts at the bottom of all the olive trees at a property that I went and checked out. And the owner had asked me to do a consultation. And I, as soon as I saw the marker, that identifying marker that they use to let you know where the spray is being applied, I could see the coloring on all of the little sprouts around the base of these olive trees. And I said, well, there's your problem right there. And the trees had started declining. Well, they'd been doing this regularly for week after week, month after month, spot spraying and trying to kill all those little sprouts coming up around the base of the olive tree, not realizing that it was translocating up into the top of the tree and causing a lot of serious dieback. So be careful of that.
Before we get to our calls here, I showed you the email from Jeff, who he sent in some pictures of his mesquite tree where the bark was. It looks like in the middle of the trunk, it just kind of like falling off.
Yeah, it looks like there was a prior injury he'd mentioned, and you know, sometimes those prior injuries the tree will compartmentalize around it and move on, and you just have to be kind of careful that it might be a structural weakness that the tree carries into its future, and it might be a liability down the road. You need to just determine, you know, how much growth is above that weakness. Also, I noticed too, he mentioned there was some black ooze coming out of that wound, and that's really common in mesquite trees. It's called slime flux. It's a mild bacterial infection. Generally, doesn't hurt the trees. It just finds a place to express some of that that infection. Trees can live with it for the life of the tree. You'll see it out in the desert. It's very common. It doesn't often kill plants. They live with it. They can work around it. It can be a cosmetic problem if that slime flux is dripping on your sidewalk or your patio. So you need to be there's not a lot of remedies for trying to dry it up. Although there are some chemical applications which can be effective in helping to dry up some of that slime flux. We could talk to you about those if you wanted to give us a shout.
Okay. We'll make sure we get him in contact with you. Let's get to our callers. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We're going to start with Troy and Chandler. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have just purchased a home in Chandler, built in the mid to late 90s. It has an Indian rosewood or sisu tree. I'm going to estimate about 35 feet in height. I want to trim it down by about a third, but I want to know what should I be doing in the future to keep roots from causing issues. I see all of my neighbors have pools. This tree is located about 20 feet from the back wall. Anything I need to do to manage this tree?
Yeah, there's a lot you can do. Whether it's going to be successful in the long term is the main question, because sisus are very aggressive rooting trees, and they're sometimes hard to control. In terms of reducing the top of the tree a third of its height, you want to be sure that you have a qualified arborist who can make proper crown reduction cuts. You don't want to just top that tree and cut it down at an arbitrary location, because that will send out a big flush of disorganized growth that will come out of those cuts, and that'll be a bit of a management headache in the future. But you can make proper crown reduction cuts, cutting back to proper lateral branches that a skilled arborist can help you with. Also, the root problems is the main issue with sisus, is that they have very aggressive rooting systems. If you're a ways away from your wall, you might want to consider putting in a root barrier now. If you can go to a certain radius from the tree and actually trench down and put in a root barrier, it might protect your hardscape elements from any future encroachment from those roots. It's an option you might have, because as that tree gets larger, those roots will find any water source and begin to colonize and send out a proliferation of other growth that can be really disruptive to the irrigation systems, can get underneath walks. It's been known if your neighbor's water from their side of the fence saturates below the footing of the wall, the sisu roots will find their way through that water channel into the neighbor's yard. We've had a lot of disruption of landscapes in neighbor's properties due to sisu trees that have found their way there. So lots of warning signs with sisu trees. We've given them a bad rap here on this show for the last couple of years. But best of luck with that. If you need any further discussion about the sisu tree, feel free to contact us offline.
And the right application, they are great. My neighbor's got a row on each side of his driveway. And during the summertime, I mean, you'll find everybody. The shade spot, beautiful sure. Tree canopy, and works great for that application. But, he has the room to do that.
Right. If you've got the room for them, they're really amazing trees. Someone has said a weed is a plant out of place. And every tree has its place that it's appropriate for. And sisus actually have a place in the landscape, but you have to give them a lot of room and don't have them anywhere near where they can cause some disruption.
Let's go to Dave and see how we can help him with the Chinese elm trees. Dave, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'll give you a little bit of history. I live in a development in Queen Creek that's about 6 years old. I've been here for 4 years, and we're mandated by the developer and HOA to have 4 Chinese elm trees across our front yard in a grass area. So I've been able to see the history here, and these trees get overwatered. So maybe they'll last about 3 years. We get a little bit of rain or a lot of rain like we have lately, and they'll just break off at the trunk. And, so far the developer, all they keep telling us to do is replace them. And so just like to listen or understand what a recommendation is that we can take to the developer to correct this problem.
Well, before I would even venture a guess as to the cause of the trees dying, I'd probably want to know what the conditions were that was leading to those trunks breaking off at the ground. It makes me wonder if there might have been some poor quality nursery stock for them to break off at the trunk. There could have been circling roots that eventually strangled the trees and they snapped off. That's not uncommon. And possibly the trees are planted too deep. You know, if for this to be happening consistently across the entire HOA, it makes me wonder if the planting practices, whoever the installer was doing the same wrong thing over and over again. So lots of those sort of questions would need to be answered to kind of give you an answer to your problem. But for the most part, Chinese elms are an amazingly durable tree, a really good selection. I like them a lot. We've seen them planted and successfully in so many applications. Dr. Chris Martin at ASU did a research study several years ago, and he surveyed and looked at the quality of trees in limited planting spaces and traffic islands all across Phoenix. And the number one tree, the most durable, bulletproof tree in all of Phoenix was the Chinese elm tree. Beat out all the desert trees, all the mesquites. And it just shows that those trees are just an amazingly adaptable species for our desert climate. They love it when you give them water, but they can handle low water applications as well. So I don't know what happened to the ones that you're talking about there. Could be an HOA-wide soil problem. So, yeah, it would really take somebody to do a little bit more investigative work to kind of come up with a solution for you. But best of luck. I'm sorry. I think they chose a good plant. So let's figure out what the cultural problems were that didn't allow those trees to succeed.
He didn't mention a pathogen of some sort. Would that be a problem?
You know, he said they broke off. You know, if the trees had died, you know, you might be thinking cotton root rot or some other soil-borne pathogen. But I didn't hear him say that. Sounds like there was a mechanical problem of some sort.
And you had a lot of body language here going on, Janet. Yes, nods.
I agree. Yeah, evergreen elm is a very versatile tree, and it's like John said, basically foolproof. But if the tree is planted too deep, the moisture seeps under that cambium layer and rots the wood, and that could cause the breaking. If they're planting it too deep and they're just replacing the tree without checking the depth of the planting pit and possibly adding material and making sure it tamps, you know, they tamp it solid, all these things can create a settling situation where the tree just ends up being too deep.
Yeah, and you make a good point with the irrigation too. If it's in a turf setting and they're getting regular watering to keep that grass healthy, that constant moisture at that root collar could be causing an issue right there that's weakening the tree and causing them to break off.
Seemed like last time you were in, you know, wood chips took over the entire hour and was the miracle cure-all for everything. I think you just need wood chips, Dave.
Well, it would be nice if we had a little bit of space around our trees, a couple of feet to keep the grass away from the base of the trees, keep the turf away. That has been a successful strategy for keeping those root collar issues from damaging our trees that have to be set in a turf setting.
Talking Trees, final segment right after this.